The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and welcome back. It seems to be Friday night. I don't know how that happened, but it does happen. Dean Henderson is standing by. We need someone to blame for all the trouble in the world, and I'm glad Dean always volunteers once a month to step by. And he always says it's not his fault, but...
I don't say that. I know it's my fault, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm still here, thank you. No, I'll take 10%.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
How we doing? Okay.
Oh, you know, yeah, good as we can do, you know. Yeah, yeah. I mean, can't complain.
No, there's no
doesn't
good.
Doesn't do any good, and yeah, no. It's counterproductive.
Have you ever honestly, I don't want to get on a big trash Trump thing, but honestly... This guy just keeps appointing Goldman Sachs people and Wall Street people and insiders. Yeah. And I'm not about to say that Hillary would have been better. I'll never say that.
No.
But
no.
Honest to God, this man has either been talked to or he was pulling off one of the greatest P.T. Barnum con jobs I've ever seen.
Yeah, P.T. Barnum comes to mind, I think. Yeah, I mean, every week it's a different group of CEOs at the White House.
Yep.
And
yep.
It's pretty much open fascism, the merger of the corporation, the state. Now the corporations just come to the White House and have a council every week about how they're going to run things. And the one infrastructure crumb that's come forth is, you know, fixing the ports. Well, who's that going to help? That's going to help Cargill. That's going to help Bungie. That's going to help ADM, all the big grain companies. Chemical companies, oil companies that own all these ports along the Mississippi, you know, fix the locks, fix it for them, you know. And so what about us? We got a couple blown out bridges here in the Ozarks from the floods. Oh, hell no.
Didn't he used to talk about how our infrastructure was falling apart and how he was going to fix it?
Exactly. And so that's been the one thing so far he can muster is this ports thing, which, you know, I don't doubt we need it, but really, is that the priority? I mean, I don't know how the roads are.
Well, the other priority is solar panels on top of the wall. They'll never be built. Don't forget that.
Right. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. So, you know, this is what it looks like when corporations, banks, Rothschilds, Illuminati follow the chain of command, if you like, run the country openly without any subterfuge
no artifice, no deception,
or anything, nothing, just open, bald face fascism.
Yeah.
And a big, huge, great military budget to go right with it.
Oh, yeah. So, we're $58 billion or something. I forget what he pumped it up to. But
yeah.
Got to feed that military-industrial beast. It needs to be fed. And he's feeding it.
Yeah, and it's getting fed. And every time, you know, he doesn't maybe bomb someone, then here comes the Hillary Clinton people with their, it was Russia, it was Russia. It wasn't that we should have supported Bernie, it was Russia. You know, and so they're in denial about their role in this.
It's amazing. It is truly.
It's amazing. The capacity of Americans to be in denial is truly amazing. It's, I don't know.
I think.
Reality, you know.
I think, Dean, honestly, I really do think there may be multiple forms of mass mind control, electronics, EMF. There's something that has happened to the will of people to stand up and complain. I don't, and defend their homes, defend their families, defend their way of life. I don't get it. Americans just one generation ago and well, World War II, they wouldn't believe. They wouldn't believe this was possible, what's going on here. They literally wouldn't believe it.
I mean, I was watching, what was I watching the other night? It was, there's a new movie out with Morgan Freeman going in style. It's about these old dudes that decide to rob a bank. It looks kind of funny. And so then we were, oh, that's right, it's a remake. So we go back and watch this, George Burns and Art Carney, and, you know, early, I guess maybe mid-70s. And just the way they talked, I mean, just the way the males in that movie, the men, were, when they were men, they talked like men.
Gotcha.
You know, in time like this in China, Winnie Hoover with their, you know, whatever.
Oh, I totally understand.
They were just men. You know, and they just were men. And it's, you know, but I tell you, it's this hive mentality created by Facebook, created by so-called social media, which is actually Mossad control, destroy your society media. This is what it is. It's a psyop of a grand scale. I'm convinced of it. The whole social media thing that it is. And so you basically push people into these camps, and they each have this banner flying in front of their camp, and that's what every one of them is going to say to you that day, you know, whatever the liberal line is for the day and whatever the conservative line is, and they'll say it. And I swear to God, it's just, you're right, it's a psyop, and it's the internet. It's out in the open, but everybody's doing it, and it's so nefarious, and so, but people are seeing it. There's a law in Colorado being proposed that you can't sell a cell phone to a kid under what, 13 or something.
Good job.
And there's been some movies coming out about it and about this technological. You know, is it, what is it? You know,
yeah.
You need to look at this, and
it's the most addictive thing I've ever seen, and it
it's
needs
the most
to
addictive
be
thing I've ever seen too.
Absolutely, and the other thing, which you mentioned tangentially, is the hive. What I was going to say about that is that we're seeing a melting and melding of gender. And that's what you're talking about when you say these were men. We used to be able to look at men and women and say, okay, there's one on this side and there's one on the other side of the fence. Now, a lot of them are sitting on top of the fence. What the hell are they?
Yeah, right. What are they? And it's cool. That's what's cool. Right?
Oh, very cool.
They're
very trendy.
Pushing this. Trending. You know, we talked about it. But, trending. And it's like the whole idea that, you know, you have a three-year-old kid or something, you can let Johnny decide that all of a sudden Johnny wants to be a girl because he thinks he's a girl. I mean, that's just effing nuts.
That is child abuse, to do that to a kid. And and you cannot. Now they're doing this whole thing along those lines of telling children. I forget who is doing it, but they're trying to establish this as a new thing. Kids don't have to decide their gender until they're grown up. Don't push them.
Yeah, right. Don't push.
So they're going to live 18 years in gender la la land and not have a clue about what they are, be screwed up for the rest of their lives. Is this some kind of a conspiracy to support burgeoning psychologist, psychiatrist industry? What is it?
Yeah. Well, it looks looks a lot like Tavistock Institute to me, is what it looks like, you know. And they've been, that's just what's the whole goal of the Tavistock set out is, just, well, it's just corruption of American society and culture, and they're, and to basically bring us down, because we fought a revolution against the British House of Windsor, and we won, ostensibly.
Yeah.
On the surface. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I admit there's the Pilgrim Society, and yeah, who knows, really. But that's what, I think that's what it is. I think it's Tavistock Institute stuff. And, it, and it's now, it's just, it's basically, it throws people, people are so indecisive. This is the thing I've noticed about people. Indecisiveness.
And good
they're
good
just
call.
Clamoring to be politically correct.
Good call.
Because that, yeah, because they have to be, because the thought police says you have to be. And boy, if you're not, buddy, if you talk like George Burns did in Going in Style, you might just be going to jail.
You know what you
I mean,
just said?
Austria's passed laws where you would, mm-hmm. if you talk bad about Jews or Israel, mm-hmm. you'd go to jail in Austria.
You know what you just said? You've just illustrated what I've been trying to warn people mm-hmm. about for years. If, in point of fact, you become afraid to speak certain things, which you just pointed out, people are, you then become afraid to think certain things. So, and yeah. those certain things then you become confusing. You can't make up your mind. You just said it. That's where yeah. this is coming from. This fear yeah. of being condemned as being un-PC, uncool, or whatever mm-hmm. is not just the act of speaking and writing. It's the act of thinking by
thinking.
Direct extension.
Very good point. Thinking, just, yeah, and that's self-censorship at that level. That's what's happening is basically yourself. You're censoring your own thoughts. I mean, you don't need a military machine. You don't need National Guard troops to put down a rebellion. You don't even need the neighbors and the family ostracizing the person because he's got these crazy ideas about 9/11. You just need to get that person to self-censor their own thoughts. Think about it. And that's where we're at. And this is where so-called social media is very important in their program.
You know,
creating this indecisiveness and this hive mentality right, and this sort of, right. I have no confidence in my old history of 25 years. I've been doing whatever, and now I got to Google how to do it or something.
Yeah, well, not only that, let's
floundering and
tie that, Dean, into the gender confusion thing.
The gender confusion adds to it.
Oh, well, my God. What are we, what's
in... What am I supposed to do? I mean, yeah, it's just nuts. But you, that's, again, I think it's why you got to stay in touch right now with the old ideas and the ancient wisdom and the stuff you've learned. And
right.
in my case, that came a lot from Native American people, for sure. It came a lot from traveling to third world countries, for sure. The tribal people, hanging out with tribal people, and mm-hmm. hanging out in nature, and yeah. places where, yeah, people aren't on their phones. But see, that's getting hard to do. Where are you going to hang out?
Oh, you can't. Antarctica. You're not going to pry. You'll pry my, what is it? You'll pry, you'll have to pry that my cell phone out of my cold, dead hand.
Yeah, Charles Sinesson, yeah. It's literally true, and oh, God, some of this stuff you see now, it's just, but yeah, I don't know. There does seem to be a little bit of awareness going on.
There is. There is. There's no question.
But, and it
there's
has
no
to
question.
Happen. If we don't see this pretty soon for what it is and cut mm-hmm. it off at the bud and just have masses of people just forgetting about social media and getting out of it and forgetting about it and living a life again, having like an actual life again, you know, we're in trouble. And,
oh, well, I think we already are. I think you're right.
We already are in trouble. That's
yeah.
why we got Trump. He's the Twitter president. I don't even know, you know, what does that even mean? And I've never even texted in my life. I don't even, people,
I have
know.
Never texted. I don't get texts. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have commercial television. No.
There you go. Me neither. So, but, you know, that's the thing. And it's just pounds people and all. It's enslaving people. They're enslaving themselves. What I'm saying about self-censorship and your connection between, yeah, when you're the hive and then going to, okay, you censor your own thoughts and then it's self-censorship and then basically you're enslaving yourself with this stuff, with your
sure.
little phone that you
no,
carry
we're,
around.
No, we're doing, we collectively are doing their work for them. And we don't
we're
have
doing
to.
Their work for them. We're self-policing
yeah.
right into the jailhouse, right into the, where they're hurting us too, which is basically depopulate 95% of the planet And there's a lot of ways to do that. And they're employing so many of them.
And don't forget they're getting rich in the process. They always make money on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it's not looking good. It's just that, you know, the only thing you can say about it is it's out in the open, like I say before, with the, you know, the fascism in the White House and then just how they're behaving out in the open. Well, yeah, you know, all these billionaires running, you know, the Department of Education and the Department of whatever. And, you know, come on, man. I mean, so it's being run for the rich, for the oligarchy, by the oligarchy. The other thing that I hope happens, I mean, you know, what I hope happens is that, you know, one of the problems in America is people don't have a grasp of political theory, I don't think, very good. And so, you know, we're still living under this kind of communist fear, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, I know all about the Russian Revolution, the Bolsheviks being tools of the Zionists and all that. And, but, you know, there's been a lot of good revolutions in the world, and like Ho Chi Minh and like, you know, the Sandinistas and like
that. What about our revolution here?
And like our, yeah, and like, exactly, and like our revolution and like the French Revolution. And like, so generally revolution is a good thing and left politics is where it's at. And I know the alt-right got confused by Trump, or maybe he did change. I don't know which, but I just hope a lot of them folks, and I know it's a lot of your listeners, I'm in a minority here. I'm on the left and most of your people on the right. And I just hope you think about people, which way you really want to go next time. Because the right has got us here. This is the right. This is out in the open. You can't get any more right-wing than this as far as just blatant corporate privatization, you know, wiping out the public commons, not helping the poor, not one bit.
Trump's talking about cutting Medicaid out.
All these folks lathered up about, oh, this world communist takeover. But you know what, folks? It ain't happening. And you just were lied to about that. And maybe you should read some Karl Marx, and maybe you should read Gaddafi's little green book, and maybe you should read Mao's little red book, and maybe you should read, and maybe you should travel, and maybe you should understand why a man has to fight against the rich in Venezuela when they're starving out his kids and he's eating rice once every 3 days, and his family is too.
They're starving down there.
That's why they got Chavez, and that's the leftist socialist revolution. Mm-hmm. That's a Bolivarian socialist revolution going on in Venezuela. And, of course, they're trying to undo that. That's a Baathist socialist revolution going on in Syria, and that's why they're being attacked. That's a sort of a hybrid Islamist socialist revolution going on in Iran, and that's why they're attacking them. That was an anarcho-syndicalist revolution under Gaddafi in Libya, and that's why he got drugged behind a jeep by the capitalist fascist pigs. Okay, so I just hope, the only hope we have is, A, we get off the technology train and forget the hive shit and start thinking for yourself again instead of what everybody else tells you to say that day and picking your little camp and hiding out behind it. You know, that's A. And then B is really, we got to look at this political theory stuff and we got to figure this out. Do you really, you know, we've been reading Friedrich Hayek and we've been reading Ayn Rand and we've been, ever since Reagan, see, it just creeped into the culture and just everything got really, really, really right wing. And Hillary Clinton's problem was she was right wing, you know, just as much as Trump almost.
She's a fascist.
She hid behind a little veneer of liberalism, a little veneer of something. But, you know, we all saw what they did in Haiti and starve those people.
She's another fascist. She's just a fascist thug.
She's a fascist, too. Exactly. So you got double fascist party. You got the Democrats running scared from Sanders because he's the real deal on the left that we needed. Just like maybe Britain's going to get Jeremy Corbyn, we hope. You know, it's still, I mean, at least Theresa May got dealt a blow with that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And part of that whole false flag terrorist stuff in London, by the way, was to try to bolster her ratings because she still could get knocked off by Corbyn himself and he could become the prime minister. And he's going to change some shit. But if we really want to change some things, I just want, especially, you know, your listeners and people on the right to just think about how are we going to do that going any further to the right? Because I don't see how you can go any further to the right.
No, we're about up against the wall.
So we got to look at our political theory, and we got to start reading more and understanding what all this stuff really means and what our options are, and then talk about it like adults. Like, some socialism is probably okay. Like, maybe free healthcare is okay. Free education is okay. Maybe you nationalize the five big grain companies and have a Department of Agriculture that just buys all the product, guarantees a farmer price like Thailand does, puts a little bit in storage for the poor, and then auctions it off to Cargill and gets 10 times as much from them assholes. Try that on oversized for socialism. That's socialism. And then some other things, yeah, obviously the ice cream vendor, leave them the hell alone and cut all this crap regulation that creates a backlash against the left, when in fact it's a cover to protect cartels from competition. And that's what a lot of these stupid regulations are that they've put in, see, these environmental regulations.
Oh,
because
every...
it's basically just to protect the cartel.
Right,
and
right,
then so a little
right.
guy can't start a business. What's he do? He gets reactionary. He turns into Joe the Plumber, and he starts voting for Republicans.
That's right.
See? And, and then on the other side of it is the left has to lose its association with sort of gay marriage, abortion, anti-gun politics, all this horse shit that's been foisted on us by these Hollywood Zionist movie people, basically. Forget about the factory guy. Forget about helping him. Forget about anything that really is socialism. That's what the left has to do. Because Jeff, there is no left in this country. Virtually.
That, it's gone. It's fallen virtually apart, gone. Disintegrated. I agree.
I am a dinosaur. Yeah. So you can blame me for everything because it doesn't matter anyway. I'm a
That's
dinosaur.
Funny.
And
That's very funny.
Oh, man. But anyway, there's my little rant. But I think it's true.
I think there's an awful lot of truth in what you say, and anyone listening with an open mind is going to at least be, I think, alerted. That's the first step. Here's something we did last night, which I think you really would have liked. I had a wonderful gentleman on named John Massaro. He'll be back on. He's a world traveler. He drives an oil truck, a big oil tanker, and during his time off, he takes trips.
Yeah.
Europe, around the world.
Yeah.
He's been. He had him on about a month ago, and he talked about his recent trip to North Korea. And so we got an hour of what North Korea is really all about. And then last night, eight months ago, he went to Iran. And so last night, we got an hour on the real Iran.
Wow. That's outstanding. I can get to those, I think, right? To the archives or something?
You bet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to check that out. What was the guy's name?
John Massaro.
Last night, he was on...
Middle hour last night on Iran, and then North Korea.
Uh-huh.
He was on.
Outstanding.
I'll send it to you. I don't know what it is.
You know, if you remember too, that'd be awesome, Jeff. I'd love to listen to those because I'm very curious about.
Okay. The other one was hour one of June 12th, Monday.
Okay. June 12th.
June 12th, and last night hour two. Yeah. The 22nd, and just a really good guy, good human being.
Working class, drives a truck.
Yes.
And travels. That's a rare combination, but hey, that's right. And good.
You'll like
those. That's the thing, Yeah, I bet.
I'm doing my best here, and I've got some great help.
Yeah, you do. Of course, man, you always do. And hey, man, we got to just keep at it.
Hang on a second. I got to do this little business break, and we'll come right back with Mr. Dean Henderson after this. Okay, I'm back with Dean Henderson. Was thinking about movies and how you watch the original of that storyline and how Hollywood is so bankrupt now. They're remaking constantly older films, and they're never as good. One film that and you younger people who really care about the values that older people have and can share, but find yourselves alone and basically and not able to talk to anybody about it or really almost emotionally understand it, there's a movie you ought to look at. It'll give you an idea, a good glimpse anyway. It's called American Graffiti, okay? Now, it shows you the music, the movies don't present anymore. It shows you cars and kind of a way of life. This is the early 60s. theme, rock and roll, cruise night. And now what they're having all over the country are cruise-ins. They're cruise-ins. People who have classic cars, rather than leave the car in the garage all summer, in their city, usually, or area, there are maybe two or three that almost once a week or once every other week, they'll have a special night at the restaurant, and you'll park outside and be 50, 100 cars, and the restaurant will give you a discount on your food if you bring a classic car. And it's just a really nice thing to do to share things that ordinarily don't get seen, except once a year at a car show in your town. So they're called cruise-ins, and they're kind of becoming pretty popular, which is nice. Old-style America.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. So by all means, go look at those two programs with John Massaro. You'll really like them, and we're going to have him back again real soon. So,
yeah, good recommendation. But even just any of those, just watch an old movie. It'll blow your mind. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know, just at how people talked and
how they thought, how they talked. Yes.
Yeah, not flippant. I mean, this whole flippant thing gets really old, you know. And
You know what it is, Dean? It's a fluid morality.
It's morality. That's a good way to put it. That's exactly what that represents, that kind of flippancy. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. And again, it's that confusion, that indecision, that sort of cultural relativism, is what I call it, that's really morally bankrupt. And that has, it's definitely pervaded the sort of Democrat Party and liberals, which is why I don't call myself even a liberal. I call myself a revolutionary because I don't really want to be associated with what it's become. Even though liberal word,
also,
used to be a good word. It used to just mean, being generous to the poor, maybe like that, being tolerant. But now these people that claim to be tolerant we'll be tolerant, let Johnny say he's a girl, but then if anybody disputes that, they're not tolerant at all. They're like Nazis, and so they're not tolerant, in other words. It's cultural.
I really respect what you're saying. I would also suggest that I have always thought of myself not as a member of any group or alignment, but an individual.
Yeah.
I'm an individual. I just try and stick with that.
That's so important, I think. And if I have to pin myself down politically, I tell people I'm an anarchist,
And you are an individual, and many of our listeners are.
And that's what it means. And it's just,
As soon as you embrace any dogma, you're mm-hmm. you're gone.
You're toast. Yeah, you're toast. Or any leader or demagogue or any of that stuff. You're in charge of your own life. It's your right as a human being.
The joy of accountability.
Creator or whoever put you here for a reason. You have a reason to be here. You find out what that is. You spend your whole life looking for it, maybe.
Yeah.
Some of them get lucky and they find it earlier. Some of them maybe never find it. But you have to value yourself as God's creation. And as the Lakota people said very wisely, they said, we're not much, but we're a whole lot more than nothing.
That's
and
nice.
That expresses
that's
both the humility, but also the embracing of, you're something, you're special. You don't have to take shit from anybody in this world, okay? I mean, you really don't, and you shouldn't. And the minute you do, you enable some oppressor somewhere, So always speak your mind, stand up, and say what you think. Just what you feel, what you know. And that's the thing, but it's so hard for people to even know what that is anymore because they're so...
How can they define it when they're bombed 24/7 with electronic noise?
Yeah. 24/7 electronics. And so how do you even know anymore, those things? And that's what's frightening. I mean,
it is frightening. It's sad because I see younger people now being deprived of the fullness of life that once was available to them. Now they're so regimented. And I don't care if they're all tattooed or not. That's not a sign of individuality anymore. Everywhere I look, I see ink.
It's an irony, right? Because that used to express something different, and now it's
Marlon Brando.
You're just another sheeple now. It's all changed around, and it's like why I cut my hair, because all the other hippies didn't, and I didn't want to look like them either and be a sheeple, so I just I got short hair now. But, I don't want to be a part of any of that crap or any group or any designation. You're not going to put me in some box. I'm I'm worth more than that, and every one of you are worth more than that out there, too. Not to have to be put in a box by somebody and kind of, you know, micromanaged by gatekeepers, you know. It's no way to live, man. And no. The internet, that's what it is. It's like, it's an electronic gatekeeper, you know, and that's what it's become. It keeps people in the pens. And there's just a couple pens. You pick it, but, you know.
That's right.
You got to be in a pen.
You know, that's why classic cars are so popular from the 40s and 50s and 60s, because they represent what we lost, what we had.
At least
on the surface, we had it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we granted the controllers were always working and moving in the background to change it around, but at least then, superficially, and then some, we had an awful lot of individual availability of wonderful experiences in life that they don't seem to have.
And everybody was different, and everybody was had their quirks, and everybody was just unique. It just seemed like much more unique than nowadays, where it just seems like everyone just talks the same, even uses the same words, the same sort of even like cadence, even, and you know, different things. Like, it's just crazy. It's just
you are totally like, correct. Same cadence. That's crucial. The cadence.
Yeah.
And they'll get a sentence out, and there'll be the word "like" will be in there 3-4 times minimum.
Right.
They cannot stand on
just
a sentence
like
and a period. They got to keep moving, keep talking, keep flowing. They can't
fluid
do it.
Morality, it's fluid morality. That's what it represents. Again, yeah, I know, and it is. It, unless we can really tackle this, that's going to be the first thing. Because it just seems like it's been making things a whole lot worse. And
I don't see any improvement
anywhere.
You know, I went
to a U2 concert in Louisville last Friday.
Oh, yeah?
We drove over there. It's quite a drive, but it was fun. And I saw Roger Waters in St. Louis. Been going to some concerts, you know, Pink Floyd guy.
Good for you.
Both, really. I mean, especially Waters. Pink Floyd. I mean, just, I really love those guys. And just, they're so radical and political. And they saw the machine coming, and they warned people, and I don't know. Nobody cared, but Waters is still going anyway, and he don't care either. And his new album's called "Is This the Life You Really Want?" And
good album.
It's a great album, one of his best. But even just then, and at those places, and still the amount of people, they paid good money to get into these concerts, and they spend the whole concert doing selfies or taking pictures or texting their friends. Or
they can't even focus on the event.
And it's this world-class performer that, I mean, you should just be, like, fixated, you'd think, on just taking that in, right?
Unreal.
And enjoying your life experience, you know? Man, you're enslaved. Like, it's like a microchip. It's basically like a microchip, right?
Mm-hmm.
And almost. And now they get the watches. They're getting closer in the headgear and all this. But
They'll eventually chip everybody, Dean, and the people won't even know it because it'll be inhaled smart dust, and it'll take up residence in the body.
As long as you get a $50 rebate from Amazon, I'm sure it'll be fine with most folks.
That's right.
You know.
That's good.
Yeah. But I know.
So really, the audience now, describe the audience. This is interesting. I haven't been to a concert in forever. But so they're younger people, and they don't know how to act. Is that part of it?
But it's not just younger people. I'm seeing on these things.
Well, that virus takes no prisoners, so anybody's around it, they're going to act like it, I guess.
I think that's it. But no, I mean, and it's not to say, you know, there's a lot of people not doing that, too, and that we're into it. But, you know, it's just it's just pervasive. Those things are just pervasive. And I don't know. I just don't really. I think it's just something tells me I'm seeing some signs it's going to wear off. Finally, I'll be able to say that. And I haven't been able to say that for a while. But I have seen some stuff now.
You didn't send me.
Question that.
I didn't get any selfie from you. Not good enough for you? Is that it?
That must be it, yeah.
That's funny. I'm amazed. I guess that's what it is now.
It is what it is. It is what it is. But we sure enjoyed it. Great, but other than that, I tell you, we had a great garden this year. We're eating good. We're eating a lot of beets right now, and carrots and green beans.
Oh, yeah. How do you prepare your beets?
Just butter and salt. just, you know, we just kind of barely, you know, don't really boil it, but just kind of cook it and hit the saw.
Yeah, don't overcook it. Beet greens are really, really good for you.
Oh, we ate a lot of beet greens this year. They're kind of getting bitter finally now, but they are and so good for you. And, you know, you can eat them raw and you can cook them too, man, if you got enough.
Little tiny bit of apple cider vinegar and a little bit of salt, and there you go.
Yeah, there you go. The vinaigrette's really good on the beet greens for some reason. Yeah, I'm usually like more of a creamy dressing guy, but on those, the beet greens, I agree, the vinaigrette thing. Yeah, so good. So trying to stay healthy and, you know, trying to stay in the fight and just do what we can do and not get too lathered up about it either or too depressed about any of it because, I don't know, it's kind of productive too. And stay on the bright side. That's where God lives or the creator or whatever, the good, that's where it lives. It lives on the side of, you know, on the sunny side, you know? And so you can dwell on all this other crap and whatever, but, you know, at some point it becomes kind of productive and you just quit dwelling on it. And then you can just act, you know, maybe instead and be proactive, you know, because that's what the other thing, people are so reactive, right? They're so just people, I think.
Oh, that's what they do now. They're not proactive,
so
Dean. It's
not
all reaction.
All.
It's all
very
stimulate and react. Stimulate,
you,
react.
Yeah, it's stimulate, react. So you, so that's the devil. We don't want to do that. So, you know, be proactive, you know, and just stay proactive and don't, you know, that worrying doesn't do you any good.
No.
I've learned over the years, nothing at all.
Proactive means think for yourself,
okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. Think for yourself.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Think for yourself.
And your friends, if they diss you and they put you down, they're not your friends.
They're not your friends.
Nah.
No. And that's a good way to sort them out and sort through them and get those ones gone. And,
Yeah,
I agree. And, you know, so, yeah, it's, I mean.
Sunny side of the street. I like that expression.
I mean, that's what you got to do because that's where God lives, man. And that's, you know, you got to keep being that person, that proactive person that tries to make things better, no matter how bad they get, right? And, I mean, that's when we need it. And so and it's pretty bad right now, you know. So,
you know, there was a song.
That way.
There was a song, The Sunny Side of the Street.
So I was referring to, keep on the sunny side.
Let's see.
On the sunny side. It's like a bluegrass song, I think, originally, but it's probably been redone a million times.
And not from the 40s.
Jenna was so sad.
Long time ago,
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it's good advice, you know. It's like a lot of those things your grandparents said, and when you were young, you thought it was kind of corny, and they were funny for saying it, like obsessing with the weather, but then you get older and you realize, oh, that's right, Grandpa was a farmer, so weather really did matter, you know. And actually, some of the stuff, most of the stuff that they were telling you was wisdom, pearls of wisdom. Gotta respect our elders, man. You know,
here you go, you got it. Here, let's see here. I'm trying to find this. Here, 78 RPM record. Benny Goodman and Miss Peggy Lee.
Wow, Benny Goodman on clarinet.
And now Miss Lee.
Peggy Lee.
Step
That's
up.
That's the original.
Velvet. That is the original.
I could play some clarinet, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I used to play trombone, jazz trombone.
Yeah.
Grab your coat, get your hat, leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street.
Feet, get moving.
Don't you hear the pitter-patter and that happy tune?
You do any dancing, Jeff?
No.
Life can
in my mind.
We got a little going on the sunny side.
nice.
That country western stuff when I was young. I had a wedding a couple weeks ago, so we were out there kicking it up.
Oh, good for you.
It's good exercise.
No, it's fun.
One of the best.
Yeah. No, I don't know if you can call it dancing what these kids do now. I don't know what it is.
No, mostly not. Yeah. No, you gotta find the right spot. You know, yeah. A wedding is good because then you can get the old people there to see setting the tone. But yeah. So things. I heard you guys are really hot out there, or it's gonna get really hot.
Yeah, hotter down south, but hot enough. It's it was 2 days ago in Phoenix, Arizona. It was 119. It's over 100.
Crazy.
You're supposed to be 104 tomorrow, I think.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's all upside down.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. But that's that's okay. It's okay. When I lived in Southern California, I never liked the weather there because it was basically almost all the same.
Yeah,
so
all the time.
It does change, and I try to look at everything in at least a quasi-positive light. All right, it's not boring all the time.
It's a beautiful spot out there, and I think where you live, I've looked at living there even, but you know, who knows, but I probably can't afford it anymore. I mean, it kind of went boom, you know, you probably got there at the right time.
But, well, it's still a wonderful place, and there are always areas that aren't right in town that you drive 15 minutes, and it's quite affordable. So everybody wants to crowd into
You never know. That's true, Check out those little towns, maybe. Yeah.
Well, you're in paradise where you are.
Well, it's good, you know. It's a little hot in the summer sometimes for me because I'm kind of a Yank. You know, I grew up in the Dakotas. So them hot, humid summers get to me a little bit. But other than that, can't complain.
Well, if you ever want to leave, this is the place to look. I guarantee it.
It is a good. I'm saying it's a good. It is. It's another good spot. There's only a few good spots, I think. And I think you're in one of them, I'm in one of them, and there ain't too many.
No, I agree with that.
You know, unfortunately. I hope we can keep them that way. But we got a lot of water here, so that's what we got to watch for, the water pirates, you know, the water corporations, you know, coming to get our water. Probably is what we got to worry about.
They're after water all over the world now. Potable water, that's the new liquid gold.
And it's huge.
Look at what you mentioned earlier, one of the great people, and he really does deserve as many acknowledgments as we can give him. Muammar Gaddafi, one of the great men of our time. And his great underwater project that he called I forget what he called it now, but he brought water from a million-year-old underground vast reservoir of water up and made the desert bloom.
Yeah.
And he was on his way to marvelous things. His people actually prospered more from their native resources in that country than any other country on the planet, as you know.
Absolutely.
And he really cared about those people. That's how you keep 36 tribes functioning together. You take care of people.
Yeah.
And he did.
And you tell them that you don't, you know, you tell them to unify and don't worry about your tribal differences. Just like the Baathists did in Syria. Same thing, right? And then, of course, once he's gone, look at Libya now. It's tribal again. It's all the tribes against each other.
That's a Hillary Clinton. Another Hillary Clinton disaster.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Neocons, whatever they call them. But, you know, he was a great man. And, you know, in his little green book, if you ever get a chance, people read the, I think it's not the little green, it's just the green book.
The green book. I've read parts of it.
Yeah, by Muammar. Have you read that?
Very impressive. Oh, yeah.
And he lays it all out, and he defines his modus operandi as anarcho-syndicalism, which is, you know, anarchy, but also syndicalism, which is working with others, you know, kind of socialist, so kind of a left anarchy, but really leaderless, and he truly was. I mean, you know, we made him out like he was some hegemon and just, you know, oppressed everyone and ran. He didn't run anything. He lived in a frickin' tent, and he just, like, farmed it all out, and literally in Libya under Gaddafi, the people not only owned the factories, in other words, the workers in the factories made all the profit from each factory, all of it. But not only that, but they decided what to make in their factories according to, you know, the economy and what people needed. And it was amazingly decentralized, amazingly empowered. instead of playing, like having a national soccer team, he said, no, he said, we're just going to, everybody on Sunday has to come play sports, you know, or should, you know, I have to. But right. So, yeah, that's how it was every weekend. Everybody went out and played soccer.
It was hard to get the truth out of the media regarding what was really going on in Libya. And we were lied to horribly. And those people were so happy. I saw several interviews with them.
Yeah. What we do know is that Libya had by twice as much the highest per capita income in Africa.
That's right.
Compared to the next country, over double. So there you go. And they have a huge middle class. And women didn't have to wear burqas. And it wasn't Islamist. It was actually the Islamists in Chad, funded by ExxonMobil and others, who attacked Gaddafi many times, just like the Islamists are now attacking Assad, because he's a socialist.
Right.
Yeah, it's so tragic. But, you know, the way they can just rewrite history, but that's important to bring that up and talk about Gaddafi in that way, because there's so many, you know, just so many people. And, of course, now it's Iran is the bad guy. Basically, Syria can be seen as a proxy, you know, war against Iran. And
they're trying to get the Saudis armed so they can fight Iran, too. You watch.
Exactly.
You watch.
Exactly.
Same crap.
And Israel is, of course, going to fight with them against Iran.
Of course.
But better be careful. That's all I got to say, boys, because Iran's got some stuff and very disciplined.
They got some friends, too.
They got some friends, too. Exactly.
All right.
And then without Iranian troops in Syria, the ISIS would not have been routed. Like it basically is now. It's basically being routed. That's the good news, right? Assad's got the upper hand. The Russians have helped big time. Hezbollah's helped. Iran's helped. And it's okay now. And there's no way ISIS is going to win now. Anything else. I mean, they're going to be crushed, finally.
Yep.
And we'll have to tuck tail and sort of help crush them at the end. And make.
Well, they'll move their deadly axe somewhere else is what will happen. Under our direction and financial support. Sickening as that is. It's
for sure.
Dean, thank you for being here. We got to run here, and you have a good weekend. Take care, and we'll talk to you next month.
You too, Jeff. Thanks for having me. And
you bet.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Dean Henderson, and we will be right back.